This audio is a reading of the popular level version of my paper titled, If God is One, Then How? In this first part, we'll explore 12 of the most common questions people ask about the Trinity, questions Christians are often challenged with and may even wrestle with themselves. Please note, for smoother listening, some elements such as section headings, the appendix materials, and the full bibliography have been left out. To access those resources, I encourage you to read the full written version at defendtheword.com. A companion academic paper is also available for those who wish to explore this topic in greater depth. D. Jean Williams, Jr., Ph.D., Defend the Word Ministries North Point Church Introduction. This paper offers simple but thoughtful responses to common questions people have about the Trinity. Whether you're new to Christianity or have been wrestling with these ideas for years, this is for you. Some people try to dismiss the Trinity by saying, God is one, that's simpler. But simpler isn't always better. Comes Razor, the idea that the simplest explanation is usually the best doesn't mean we should choose the easiest answer, it means we should choose the answer that's the simplest that still explains all the facts. The Trinity may seem more complex at first, but it's the only explanation that does justice to everything the Bible says about the Father, Son, and Spirit. It's not overly complicated, it's just complete. The Trinity is not a contradiction, but a beautiful truth, that God is one being eternally existing as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This belief isn't based on clever philosophy, it's built on the Bible's own witness and how God has revealed himself. It's also important to understand that the Hebrew word Elohim translated to God isn't a personal name, it's more like a title. In Hebrew, the word Elohim, which is often translated as God, functions more like saying mama or king. It describes someone's role or status, not their individual name. In the Bible, Elohim can refer to the one true God, but surprisingly, in other passages, it's also used for angels, heavenly beings, and even false gods. That doesn't mean they're equal to the true God, it just shows that the word Elohim is broader than we might think. This can cause confusion, especially when trying to understand how Jesus can be called God while also praying to God the Father. But once we realize that God is a title and not a personal name like Yahweh, it becomes easier to understand how the Father, Son, and Spirit can all be called God while still being one in essence. Common objections in this section, we'll walk through 12 of the most common questions people ask about the Trinity, questions Christians are often challenged with and sometimes wrestle with themselves. These aren't trick questions. They're sincere and they deserve real, thoughtful answers. Let's begin with the first one. If Jesus is God, who was he praying to? Jesus wasn't talking to himself. Christians believe God is one being made known through three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. When Jesus prayed, he was showing the relationship between him and the Father. It's not confusion, it's connection. Here's another common question. Jesus said, "The Father is greater than I," doesn't that mean he's not God? Jesus was talking about his role while on earth, not his nature. He humbled himself to serve. That doesn't make him less than God, it shows how far he would go to save us. Let's keep going. If God knows everything, why did Jesus say he didn't know the hour of his return? Jesus chose to live with human limits while on earth. He still had divine knowledge, but he didn't always access or express it. According to the IHUM model, he self-limited only when it served his mission. His humility didn't change who he was, instead, his self-restraint was an example for us, showing what it means to live in full dependence on the Father. Next up, the Bible says no one has seen God, so how could people see Jesus? God's essence is invisible, but he can make himself known. Jesus is God in visible form. When people saw Jesus, they were seeing what God wanted them to see, his love, truth, and power. Here's one that comes up a lot. Isn't the Trinity just three gods? No. Christians believe in one God. Trinity doesn't divide God, it explains how the one true God has revealed himself through Scripture as Father, Son, and Spirit. Some groups, like the Latter-day Saints, Mormons, hold to a view that teaches three separate gods, but that's not biblical Trinitarianism. Christian doctrine affirms one divine essence shared by three distinct persons, unified in being, purpose, and glory. Another one is, where is the word Trinity in the Bible? The word Trinity isn't in the Bible, but the truth of it is. Just like the word Bible isn't in the Bible either. The idea comes from putting together everything the Bible teaches about the Father, Son, and Spirit. Let's look at this one. Why does Jesus sit at the right hand of God? Aren't they separate? Sitting at God's right hand means honor and power. Jesus shares authority with the Father. Doesn't mean they're two gods, it shows unity in purpose and power. Now here's a big one, did Jesus become God later? No. Jesus has always been God. He didn't become divine, he came down to live as one of us. His resurrection showed who he had been all along. Next, why did Jesus call himself the Son of Man if it is only a human title? Sometimes Son of Man is in fact used as a human title. In books like Ezekiel, Son of Man is used to emphasize someone's humanity. But in Daniel 7, the Son of Man comes with the clouds of heaven, is given authority and glory, and is worshipped. That's divine imagery. When Jesus used this title, he was claiming that role for himself, and it wasn't just occasional. This was actually Jesus' favorite title for himself, and he used it more than any other. pointed to both his identity as a human and his authority as the one who shares in the rule and glory of God. Let's deal with this concern. Isn't it wrong to call Jesus God? Isn't that idolatry? Not if it's true. Jesus is God, then worshiping him is right. The early Christians worshiped Jesus because they saw him do what only God could do, heal, forgive, rise from the dead. This one's a deep question. How can God die on a cross? God can't die in his divine nature, but Jesus, who is both God and man, died in his human body. His death was real. That's why it matters so much. And finally, for this section, why doesn't the Holy Spirit speak about himself? The Spirit's job is to point to Jesus and glorify the Father. He isn't silent, he speaks through Scripture, believers, and the church. But he works in a humble behind-the-scenes way. That concludes part one of If God is One, Then How? Part two will explore objections that come from a Jewish background, as well as related concerns shared by Muslims, Unitarians, and others. You'll see how the Trinity, far from contradicting the Old Testament, actually grows out of it.